are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. This is an emergency Friday morning draft pod. Round one is over. We have new 49ers. I want to break some of that down for you. Talk about Mike McGlinchey, the newest San Francisco 49er, and as expected, now a trade. Another tackle that Mike McGlinchey is obviously going to replace now is no longer a 49er. So that's the newest news as of Friday morning. The audio from the podcast I tried to post this morning was not optimal. Very funny story about why that is that I will get into. And it kind of underscores the fun we had last night at the live broadcast at Yancey's. Shout out to everybody who showed up for that live broadcast. It was a super fun time. If you go to Locked On 49ers Facebook page or the 4th and 9 Facebook page, you can see all 4 hours, the entirety of the broadcast during the first round. And four straight hours, we started at about 4:30 p.m. and the videos can only be 4 hours long, so it cut off right at pick 32, right when that pick was, after that pick was made. So it was pretty awesome timing there. Awesome time. Fun meeting some new folks that showed up live to the event and chatting with the folks that were watching online live and all the questions and stuff. So thank you very much for everybody who participated. And especially thank you to Dylan DeSimone, who set that up with me, and Eric Crocker, who showed up from 4th and 9 and was breaking down picks. And Nick Winkler was there on scene. That was awesome. That was a super fun time, and I had a blast. Maybe too fun of a time. As you can tell, my voice is a little bit haggard today from, you know, talking for 4 hours on that live broadcast, then shouting over people at the bar afterwards, and then my buddy Tim, who showed up, dragged me to the karaoke bar even after that. So it was a fun, long night from the first round of the draft. And so we've got to get into the nitty-gritty here. We've got to break down the newest 49er, Mike McGlinchey. And as expected, and it happened quickly, now we have a trade already that is just now happening Friday morning here. Trent Brown is no longer a 49er. Going to get into all that stuff, look ahead a little bit to day two, possibly even have a little live broadcast again day two. See what Crocker and Dylan DeSimone are up to tonight, and maybe do that again on Facebook Live. So look for that on Twitter. The links will be out there on Facebook and on Twitter. So much fun. Maybe you have to do that again tonight. See what those guys are up to. We talked about doing it possibly. Reminder to follow me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Email the show, lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Rate, review, we're on iTunes, Spotify. You can find the podcast everywhere. And this episode of Locked On 49ers is brought to you by BitTrust IRA. Do you want to take advantage of the growth of Bitcoin, but you don't know how? Looking to add Bitcoin to your retirement account? The cryptocurrency world is confusing. I know it's a little bit odd and maybe a little bit overwhelming trying to figure all this stuff out. So how do you get involved? BitTrust IRA helps you seamlessly and securely add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. Their team handles the entire process, makes it super easy so you can diversify your portfolio if it already exists, or start a new portfolio with this new innovative investment. Download your free copy of their Cryptocurrency IRA Investor's Guide at bitrustira.com/podcast. That is bitrustira.com/podcast. You can get that free cryptocurrency IRA investor's guide, or just give them a call right now to learn more at 855-642-8800. That's 855-642-8800, bitrustira.com/podcast. I guess the best way to start this off then, Mike McGlinchey, welcome to the San Francisco 49ers, and let's go straight to GM John Lynch, who talked about the pick Thursday night.
On behalf of the organization, we're extremely excited with what transpired here. Mike McGlinchey is a guy that we've been excited about for some time. I would tell you that about a week ago, we go through the process. The scouts do all their homework, ongoing process that goes, year long and goes into last year. And Mike McGlinchey's a guy we've scouted for a long time. But just kept gaining steam. The more we watched him, the more we liked him. And I would tell you that, you know, throughout this process, we get the scouts. I explained the process the other day. The scouts come in, the coaches come in. And every time Kyle and I kept watching him, he just kept getting better. And you go into the makeup of the kid, one of the smartest players in the draft, off the charts in terms of his presence. Our combine interview, I was just looking at my notes upstairs, and one of the top interviews, and just in terms of presence and makeup. And it's a guy, a two-time captain at Notre Dame, started 39 straight games. He's healthy. We felt like both in the short term and in the long term at a premium position, particularly when you've just invested in a quarterback. And more so than that, just an important position in football. And you couple that with take the position. Who are the players that excite you most? This was a guy. And last week we decided that if he's there at 9, he's the guy we're taking. We had other players that we had to prepare and we probably had a list of 4. We were going to list some offers if McGlinchey wasn't there, but we had other guys in line. But we're very pleased to have added Mike McGlinchey to our team.
So some interesting things John Lynch says there, not only that they love McGlinchey all along, but that they weren't really taking trade offers because he was still on the board. That's how much they liked him. And if he was gone, then they might have taken some trade offers. So that's an interesting tidbit, because last night when they were on the clock, I thought for sure this is prime trade down territory for the 49ers. But they liked McGlinchey that much. And one of the key things about this draft process is, you know, people say it's lying season. All of that late information and leaks we were hearing with teams that liked certain players, Baker Mayfield, that was accurate. And the 49ers, McGlinchey was the talk very late in this process. And I was thinking, yeah, man, I don't know. Top 10 for McGlinchey. I had him ranked, you know, in maybe in the early, I think in the 20s, mid-20s was where I had McGlinchey ranked. So still first-round prospect. I had him mocked, I think, to number 17 overall. So 8 picks ahead of that. You can't really say it's a massive reach there, especially the value of the position, and especially knowing, and this is one of the big keys for me with McGlinchey, knowing that there's no Trent Brown in the picture, who was traded away. We're going to get into that in a moment. But as of Friday morning, Trent Brown no longer a 49er. He's a member of the New England Patriots. So knowing that they wanted to completely replace one guy, I think that would definitely have moved McGlinchey up, who throughout this process ended up being the top pure offensive tackle in this class. I think I still like Connor Williams almost as much. Connor Williams, by the way, still on the board. Another player, Harold Landry. A lot of 49ers fans, including myself, liked for the 49ers still on the board, as well as we head into day 2, which is a couple of the more surprising developments for me as far as prospects that are still around. But McGlinchey has that length and that profile that I think, and a lot better movement skills for the 49ers that they want, an offensive tackle. And it's clear to me that, and it's obvious now because Trent Brown's gone, but they wanted to replace Trent Brown. They thought they could find someone with better movement skills in the run game, and McGlinchey is absolutely going to be a better run blocker than Trent Brown. But there's not many better pass blockers in the league already than Trent Brown. And I said it last night, McGlinchey, before the Brown trade, McGlinchey was the third best pass blocker the 49ers had, and that was the top 10 pick. So he's going to start out on the right side. Maybe he sticks on the right side his entire career, but I got to believe the 49ers think he's going to be a future left tackle in place of Joe Staley in a few years when Staley does finally hang him up. So a first round prospect for sure. Slight reach maybe from what I saw on film as far as looking for someone who's just a pure top 10 left tackle that you see athletically. But he's not, I wouldn't say he's necessarily limited athletically either. He's just not someone that you're like, okay, this is one of those top 10 offensive tackles who dances around, has got insanely great feet. But man, he's a nasty player. He's that offensive line, the left side of that offensive line for Notre Dame's crazy, because 2 top 10 draft picks, obviously Quentin Nelson also was the guard who played right next to Mike McGlinchey. So one thing that was clear about McGlinchey, and that was his selling point, I think, in this draft, is that he was the pro-ready offensive tackle, the top guy that you could plug in and play. Most people projected to the right side, which is where he's going to start with the 49ers. Then you hope he does display all of the development to become a left tackle as well in the NFL, but he's not going to have to be that blind side protector, at least right away in his career, unless something happens to Joe Staley. Could get a little stronger, maybe. But he does have athleticism to play the left side. It's not like he's limited athletically, like I mentioned. He's a good athlete, and he's what you look for in an offensive tackle. I think if it wasn't for the lack of perceived need at offensive tackle, I think a lot of people would have been talking about McGlinchey as in that discussion for the number 9 overall pick a lot earlier in the process. And I mentioned it last night on that live broadcast, is quarterback, get after the quarterback, and protect the quarterback. So this is a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo, I think. And this is the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch bringing in their own guys and the guys that really fit what they want to do. So I think this is potentially makes for a better offensive line, just because in the run game, I think McGlinchey can do a lot more than what Trent Brown could do athletically. But he should be a good pass blocker as well as a right tackle. So I don't think they're going to necessarily drop off a ton, even though, as Kyle Shanahan said, and maybe we know he was trying to sell Trent Brown a little bit, that Trent Brown was the best pass blocking right tackle he'd ever seen. And a lot of people heard that quote and was like, oh, it sounds like he's trying to sell something. And yeah, maybe he was, as it turns out. Yeah, McGlinchey, good football player. He will work hard. He's nasty. Great reports as far as character goes from all the Notre Dame folks. I think he played a little bit better at right tackle earlier in his career than when he was asked to play left tackle, but still should be fine as a left tackle as well in the NFL. With the bad offensive play around the league, and you see some people try to... this is one thing I like about Mike McGlinchey, is that you see a lot of people try to put great athletes, super long-armed, freaky, athletic offensive tackles that weren't that good, not really technicians in college, and try to put them in there and plug them in and make left tackles out of them. And we see a lot of busts from like late first-round picks where people try to do that. And a lot of people think that offensive linemen are pretty safe draft picks, but we've seen a ton of busts, even all the way up to, you know, really high picks, top 5 picks that were offensive tackles that didn't turn out to be great players in the league. And I think with McGlinchey, it's the opposite of that. I think you're guaranteed to have a good starting NFL offensive tackle. You might not get Orlando Pace or anything, but he's going to be a long-term starting offensive tackle because he has the right now ability, technique. I mean, he could definitely get stronger. He can definitely, you know, improve some technique and some things like that, but he's going to work hard. He's going to get there, and he's ready to go plug and play offensive tackle. And so for that, I like what the 49ers did here with that pick, and they're being smart. They're protecting Jimmy Garoppolo, who is right now their most important asset, and long-term looking down the road, offensive tackle was something that could have become a problem with Trent Brown's injuries. He was in the last year of his contract and only 2 more years under Joe Staley's contract, and they even gave him a raise but didn't add any years to his contract. So the writing's on the wall with Joe Staley. He might be looking at, you know, 2019 as his last year. And so 2020 week one, Mike McGlinchey might be that left tackle starter. And so some foresight here and looking ahead with Mike McGlinchey. So I like that. And I think it's a good player. I would have ideally, you know, you move down a little bit and maybe take him just based on how I had him ranked. And the players, I think there were some better players on the board. Minkah Fitzpatrick was the guy who was the number one player on my board when the pick happened. I'll talk about the Shadow 49er stuff momentarily, and I'll have that article up later Friday. And we'll start the Shadow 49er stuff too. And this year I'm definitely going to do the split off Shadow 49ers thing where I'm going to make a pick for where the 49ers needs were, and made that pick on the podcast last night. And then I'm going to do a split off to where I'm picking against the roster that I've now built from 5-6 years doing the Shadow 49ers, and see where this roster goes when I'm drafting for the players that I already have in-house on this fictitious roster. It was a fun little exercise for me to remember the players I liked, and that's what the Shadow 49ers are all about. And also, you know, and see what it would look like if the path started to veer off in 2013 and I have a completely different roster to deal with those Shadow 49ers. So that'll all be up on LockedOn49ers.com later on Friday. So Mike McGlinchey, newest 49er. I'm going to get deep into the tape on Mike McGlinchey and have more of that broken down on next week's podcast. We've got all kinds of time to break him down and talk more about him. And I just didn't look at offensive tackles as closely, especially for pick number 9. And I was looking for some other guys later in the draft. I thought round 2-3 is when the 49ers were going to start dipping into the offensive line pool, unless there was a trade down. So I could definitely dig deeper into the Mike McGlinchey film, and I will for some later podcasts. But those were just sort of my first thoughts from when I had watched McGlinchey. And he didn't jump out as someone that was going to be a top 10 pick, but he was absolutely a first-round player. And so the 49ers, bottom line, has got a good football player. I think a pretty safe pick because of, like I mentioned, the person he is. All great reports for character, work ethic, and some usable offensive tackle skills, which are insanely valuable right now in the NFL, that rate just behind quarterback and pass rusher. And to that point, here's more from John Lynch about that factor and the value of that position and why Mike McGlinchey was that guy for the 49ers at number nine.
You know, signing Jimmy long term, does that play into it? Of course it does, but that's just a premium position in this league. I mentioned what happened to us in Philly. Not a lot of great ones out there. God didn't create a bunch of great offensive tackles out there. They're limited. We think we found a guy who has an opportunity to be that. And when you combine his skill on the field, we talk a lot about guys who represent what it takes to win games, to win championships. We feel like he's got a lot of that in him, both on and off the field in terms of the way he plays. He's a guy who, often on film, you keep the film running after a play. And even though he's 6'8 and 310 pounds, he's running 30 yards downfield to pick up his running back. Those are things that speak to us. He consistently does his job over and over. It's not easy playing tackle in this league, so it's not going to be perfect, but we found a guy who we believe can do it well for a long time.
So more on Mike McGlinchey later and in podcasts to come. There's going to be a lot of talk about Mike McGlinchey, break him down from every single angle. But more about trades. First from John Lynch about possibilities from trading at that number nine spot, and then Trent Brown trade, who was no longer a 49er.
I've only done it 2 years, but there were a lot of calls, but a lot of people hedging. Hey, we're going to call you around pick six, and if our guy's still there, would you guys be interested in listening? And, what we really wanted to do with everyone, we wanted to wait until that eighth pick because, like I said, if McGlinchey was there, we had decided earlier this week we weren't going to hesitate. We were going to go, and fortunately he was.
There were that McGlinchey would have gone.
Yeah, a lot of ties to Chicago. His line coach from Notre Dame is at Chicago now. And so I think he was a guy that seemed like throughout the league kept getting hotter as the draft drew nearer. And so there was some concern, but we were prepared for that as well.
So from that, it seems like, 49ers might have had some opportunity to move down. They saw their guy there, and he was the player that they wanted all along. Lynch also said that Roquan Smith, who went off the board to Chicago, the pick right in front of the 49ers, said McGlinchey was still their guy. Who knows if that's actually true or not. They identified Mike McGlinchey as their player, and he was their pick at number nine. They had no qualms about that. It wasn't like, oh, man, well, we're going to have to settle for McGlinchey. No, it sounds like he was definitely the guy in their building, and maybe they have a leak in the building because that information started getting out there, especially late in the week as we got closer to the draft. So Mike McGlinchey in, Trent Brown out. The New England Patriots have traded for Trent Brown, giving the 49ers now three third-round picks. Number 95 comes to San Francisco in this trade, giving the 49ers 70, 74, and 95 now in round three. 49ers also sent their fifth rounder to New England as part of the deal. So the deal was Trent Brown and a fifth, which was, I believe, 145 overall. And then the 49ers got that third round pick. So a fine trade, I think, for the 49ers. I think it's a good deal for the Patriots, who needed a pass protector and to get a very good pass blocker in Trent Brown, and only giving up a third round pick and then picking up a fifth. So, good trade all around. Eric Armstead still out there. Could be a potential guy who gets traded on day two or three of this draft. And the 49ers now have that ammunition. I talked about them closing the gap between 9 and 59. They're not on the clock until late in the second round. They have three third-round picks. I would be surprised if they're not trying to move up and draft one of their players. And it was said that John Lynch had 30 guys that had first-round grades. So I think after the 12 elite players that he saw, I think there's a really long list of players. Then I'm sure some of those guys are still on the board. And as we saw, someone like Connor Williams, who I talked about, or the Shadow 49er player, one half of my Shadow 49er split there in Harold Landry, still on the board. That would be the player I'm moving up to get right now for the 49ers. I talked about how valuable certain positions are in this league. They've got their quarterback. If they just drafted their offensive tackle of the future, now go get that outside edge speed pass rusher in Harold Landry, who's still on the board, I'd be definitely trying to move up right now, and they have the ammunition to get as high up in the second round as they need to. So that's going to be an interesting idea, and really, if the 49ers are able to pull something like that off and pull off Landry, that's an A-plus draft for John Lynch. And I talked about it last year in the Shadow Draft article, is that if John Lynch continues to draft this well, you know, it's not as fun and interesting for me to do the shadow draft because Trent Baalke's drafts were so bad and mine looked great in comparison. If Lynch is pulling off amazing drafts and building this franchise as it is, it'll just be more fun for me to do the shadow draft and reminding myself, you know, for posterity's sake, the players I liked, but not necessarily saying, hey, I wish it would have gone this way, because it seems like the guys in charge right now in San Francisco are doing a pretty good job. And even if I thought it was a slight reach for Mike McGlinchey, I mean, you can't call a reach if he's a starting offensive tackle. And I had him mocked 8 picks later. You know, I mean, it's like you get into the minutiae and all the groupthink about prospects and value, and you're like, oh man, I wouldn't touch this player at number 9, but I'd love to take him at 11. I mean, that's just kind of insanity when you really look back on drafts and look how things go. Half of these guys are going to bust. If they got a safe player, if they got a very good player for a long time starter in Mike McGlinchey, absolutely a great pick. Still some very good players, though, on the board on day 2. So about that shadow draft, yeah, Harold Landry was my selection there at number 9, still on the board. So talk about reach. I guess I made a big reach compared to, and he was a player I thought could fall, which is why I was really hoping for the 49ers to trade down, and then Landry was that player of value. He wasn't the highest player on my board at the time, but positional value and need was what forced that selection to be Landry. When I'm looking at my Shadow 49ers roster and my depth chart, if you're counting players that I've drafted in the past, and by the way, you can go to lockedon49ers.com and I'll have this all linked up there. And so I was looking over this offseason, looking over my past drafts and putting together what a depth chart would look like if I actually was the person drafting since 2013, and free safety was a big hole. And the top player on my board when the 49ers came up at number 9 was Mika Fitzpatrick, and that's just an ideal fit. Boom, boom. You plug him in there, and this Shadow 49ers defense, guys, by the way, is looking very studly. And so yeah, I'll have links to all that and talk about that on the Shadow Draft article that will be on Locked On 49ers later on Friday. Okay, I'm gonna get out of here in just a second. I want to tell a story. I forgot to tell this at the beginning. So for those of you who downloaded the first Friday morning podcast that was just an excerpt from the live broadcast at Yancey Saloon, I was dying this morning. I get up and there's some Twitter people. They're like, oh, what's going on? I heard like a cat and some snoring during the podcast. And it was like, what? There was no snoring or cats at the bar last night. And so I'm like, oh no. So this is amazing. So after the podcast, we go out, we continue to drink and, you know, have a good time in San Francisco. Great times had by all. I'm beat when I get home at like 3 a.m. and I'm just beat. And so I'm like, oh God, I gotta get this podcast together. So couldn't download the audio from Facebook Live to get that excerpt. So I just kind of had to record it into my computer. And you know, that's why the audio is kind of wonky. And I'm just sitting there and I like sit on the couch and waiting for this thing to record. And I'm like, and I crash hard. So that snoring is just me beat. And it's amazing that got picked up through my computer when I was trying to get this thing together. And I woke up and my cat is on me, like meowing at me, like, dude, what are you doing? Go to bed. And so you can hear the cat is like, oh, it's just, I was a mess. And I was dying laughing when I woke up this morning to find out that some of that audio made it onto the podcast over. Yeah, there was definitely not that happening at the bar during the draft, during our live broadcast. So that was so funny. So my cat always finds a way to make it onto the podcast, and that's how beat I was last night after a long night. Started, you know, having a few beers at about 4 o'clock, started the broadcast, and we went all the way through the night. Such a fun time. And so that was the end result, is me just basically passed out at home on the couch trying to squeeze out a podcast for you guys. So instead, here's the emergency first round draft podcast. Looking forward to day 2, and definitely gonna have fewer beverages tonight, but I might get together with Dylan and Crocker and talk about this draft again. We'll see what happens, but excited for day 2. 49ers have 4 picks now on day 2. They might consolidate some of those. Looking for a trade up. Some very good players out there on the board. Number 1 on the board still, Harold Landry for me. All right. Thanks again to everybody who was involved with the broadcast. I can't say that enough. All the people that came out, all the people that watched. That was so fun. Great times had by all. I will talk to you guys soon, Monday morning. Maybe I'll try to get another emergency cast going. I'm kind of busy this weekend, but yeah, I'll talk to you guys soon right here on Locked On 49ers.